107.1 CJCSFM. Good morning. I'm Jamie Caudle. Boy, lots on the agenda, lots to talk about and celebrate. Joining us in the studio is City of Stratford Mayor Martin Rithma. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Jamie Caudle. Always a blessing to be here.
All right. Well, let's get right to it. Recognizing a Stratford Canadian great.
You know where I'm going with this. And I was so blessed on Monday night. I opened council with the recognition of the passing of Graham Greene, you know, a city resident known on our festival stage, but on the global stage as well. And, you know, just I think most of us, and on Friday night, I got into the library and took home the movie Dances with Wolves and his work with Kevin Costner, you know, a guy that he was plucked out of a small theater in Toronto as that production was already in play, you know, to see greats like Alan Jackson singing for him, you know. And but then I remember the mild and meekness of him as a resident in the city of Stratford, whether it was on the streets of Stratford or at the farmer's market, just, you know, a quiet, regular guy. And, you know, the praise and the love that's been poured out locally and globally for this gentleman. Wow. It's an emotional time for us because we've lost an amazing citizen and an iconic individual in our community and in our nation.
Oh, without a doubt. And again, we're in conversation with City of Stratford Mayor Martin Rithma, and I have a note here about the Prime Minister's office. What's
this
about?
You know, I sent a letter to Prime Minister Carney, congratulating him on becoming Prime Minister, and also extending my comments with regards to what role it can play during these turbulent times, you know, with tariff trades, etc. And, you know, I shared the fact that, you know, would love to invite him to see what we have in Stratford to support him in his work. And so I was blessed where I received a call back from the PMO's office saying, can we talk virtually? And one of his staffers from the PMO office, we had a lovely conversation that I shared, and they wanted to know what we were doing in manufacturing. And I shared about our quality manufacturing companies that is involved with military production, defense production, and how that can expand and or other companies can pivot, because we know a big part of his mandate is increased military spending. We talked about trade tariffs and the impact that could result on if we don't have the positive renegotiation of CUSMA, and of and the impact it has would have on our auto sector. We have obviously talked about the Stratford Festival, and there was an invite to Stratford to attend the festival. But also, you know, a big part of his work so far is building national projects. And I alluded to the fact that the CNR shops were a big part of the early building and growth of our national dream, and so brought that to his attention as well. So looking forward to perhaps an in-person meeting with the Prime Minister to advance those ideas, including the Grand Trunk site.
Okay, very good. And that segues certainly into the federal budget watch.
Yes. Yeah, you know, and certainly it's going to be influenced by trade tariffs, current ones, and unknown trade tariffs. It's going to be influenced by the success or failure of CUSMA, the auto parts trade agreement between Canada, U.S., and Mexico. So what I'm looking for as we move along and we have a fall budget, which is a little odd, but I think he wanted to get an opportunity to perhaps take on the trade tariffs and see where they were going to take us. But certainly infrastructure, for a new infrastructure, especially around housing, that's key. We want to be part of that aggressive, ambitious goal of $500,000 homes built across Canada. We want to be part of that. But with that, we need infrastructure dollars. I want to see support for industries and companies impacted by trade tariffs. dollars for training for workers, as maybe those, some of those companies companies are so impacted by trade tariffs that workers have to retrain. The other piece that, and I'd like to talk about this more maybe the next time we're on, is EV incentives. Where are we going with that? Whether it's charging stations, whether it's incentives that are no longer there for the purchase of EVs. And finally, as I mentioned earlier, the large projects that he talks about, national building, projects like the GTR. I'd love to see dollars like that come our way.
Okay, talking about the federal budget there for this fall, but let's swing it back locally for the city budget process.
Certainly, and I've shared with this on the previous my previous talk. It's the process is one well underway. I know from my perspective as the mayor, I have set some limits as the city departments out outside boards have been working through their budgets, and the limit that I have set was a 3.5 increase in the tax levy. I can say that all departments and all outside boards have completed and submitted their budgets for 2026. And just as we look at the next steps, there's going to be a tentative release of the 2026 budget, and that should come out in the week of October the 13th. Once again, there will be in public engagements, whether it's in City Hall. I know we'll do electronic and hard copy surveys. I believe it's going to start October the 15th and go to the November the 15th. We should have a 2026 budget come to us November the 17th, and then the work will begin with regards to that budget deliberation by council led by Chair Hunter. That budget deliberation will start on November the 28th and proceed to December the 1st, and then where it goes from there depends on how that deliberation goes. So a lot of work has been done, but we certainly know a lot of work for public engagement and council has to be done moving forward as well. But I think it will be a little bit more streamlined this year with already some parameters being set and direction being given to those boards and outside boards through my office of 3.5%.
Okay, we're in conversation with City of Stratford Mayor Martin Ritzman. Now, here's something that's been very much in the news, very much on social media, homelessness discussion. That was certainly one of the topics from last Monday's meeting.
Absolutely, and it should be. And as I mentioned previous, coming back from AMO, we identified that probably at AMO, across the 444 municipalities across Ontario, this was the lead topic, I believe, bar none at AMO. And it's across Canada, it's globally. We see some mayors calling out crises in their community where they have to move encampments, etc. I want to begin, though, with a shout-out and a thank you to Kim McElroy, Director of Social Services, and her staff that addressed this in Stratford, Ontario. And as you mentioned, this was an important topic that we spoke about on Monday night in Council. I believe we had 11 or 12 delegations. And the talk primarily around shelters, and are shelters the answer? And I think most people know where I stand in this world. It's around we need to invest in permanent supportive housing so that the dollars that we spend on shelters, we don't take away from those permanent supportive housing, where we address mental health, we address addiction, we get people ready so that they can maintain their home once they move into an apartment of their own, etc. So, you know, Stratford did host three Stratford Social Services, three sessions for people to come and voice their thoughts about where we should go. And once again, we had an extension of council from 11 to 11:30 and 11:30 to 12, where there was fulsome discussion around this. And I just want to present some numbers that I shared the other night, and with regards to the cost of our work with regards to addressing our homelessness. And this comes directly from AMO. If you're going to house an individual in a hospital overnight, it's $32 a night. In prison, you know, in a jail cell, $14 a night. In a shelter, $6 a night. And in long-term supportive housing, $4 a night. And it is supportive housing that has a long-term dignified impact on that individual, where they we're addressing their addictions, we're addressing their mental health, and preparing them for hopefully a transition into their own home. As my second visit to Finland in 3 years, I once again got to meet with an expert, and his quote, it was, shelters will take funds that you should be spending on permanent supportive housing. And so a lot of work to be done. We'll talk more as we go along with individuals and organizations that want to become involved in the community solution. And our time will be too short this morning, but certainly want to bring into the conversations the many organizations that, including our Council of Churches, that want to be involved with a solution, as opposed to wagging a finger and saying you're not getting it done. So much more discussion on this.
Okay, we're in conversation with City of Stratford Mayor Martin Ritzma. We've had this in the news, a big news with regards to childcare.
Big news. And this, you know, dovetails nicely into our conversation that we had with our delegation with the Minister of Education, Paul Calandra, where in Ottawa we said to him, we want to have more child care spaces, and we want those spaces, availability of those spaces, to be income tested. So those individuals that have a lesser income can qualify sooner for those spaces. So those are two pieces that we left with Minister Calandra. Our work's not done there, but we moved a big step forward. We know we have a list, I believe around 600 on our wait list. Now, some of the data can be a little sketchy because people multiple list. When they become pregnant, then they put themselves maybe on four or five lists at the same time. But we took a big step forward on, and this was a continuation of the open house, but on Monday night, we approved a 98 new child care spaces the address is 225 Oak Street. So it's adjacent to both industrial and residential, which is, I believe, a perfect blend. As people are leaving their homes, as they're going off to work, there's a location for 98 boys and girls for childcare. And not only that, the creation of between 20 and 30 jobs. So I'm so happy with this, but like I said, our job's not done. We'll continue that conversation with Minister Calandra, and hopefully we have some ideas of other locations, but we need to provide opportunities. I think it's a great leveler in our community, but I also think it's an opportunity for parents, both parents if they wish to work, and grandparents that wish to work, can rejoin the labor force and have their children in quality daycare. And we know we have it in Stratford, but let's grow that.
Okay, and we also have senior care.
Yeah, as well. You know, once again, I'm going to start with a big shout out to our SLA Association, that's the Stratford Lakeside Active Adult Association, for the programming activities they've offered to local seniors for a long period of time. You know, from their location on Lakeside Drive to now up at the Rotary Complex. And this Saturday, they are going to host an event called Aging with Optimism. And I'm aging with much optimism right in front of you, Jamie. But it's an open house. It's a wellness and multicultural fair. It's, as I said, up at the Rotary Complex. just above the farmer's market location.
Yeah, the Agriplex.
That community hall, as we call it now, former bingo hall, as we... But there's going to be booths, there's going to be activities. Great guest speaker. If you've not heard Dr. Gene Hewitt speak, great guest speaker. There'll be tours of the facilities. There'll be great, you know, opportunity for food, you know, information and fun. So, you know, once again, we do have a large, probably one of the oldest demographically communities in Ontario. And SLA plays a great, a huge part in addressing their needs and providing opportunities for them to age with optimism.
That's right. And we chatted with Trudy Youngman with Stratford Lakeside Active Adults Association about that. And that's set for this Saturday morning at the Agriplex. Look forward to that. Let's spotlight pedestrian crossovers, certainly with Back to School and back at it.
Yes. And that was another item that was brought forward. We've talked about this before, where we know we're a busy community. I was out on Foreman Ave the first week of school because of some concerns there, and as a result, not only talk to city staff, but also to busing companies with regards to the safety, whether it's walkers, bikers, transit users, or people in cars. And I've always said that the responsibility is on all individuals as they use those pedestrian crossovers. We've talked about our most recent ones on Waterloo Street, and William on McCarthy Road and Greenwood. And we've also talked about the next step on the intersection. And this was talked about at City Council on Monday night, the intersection of George and Downey. And we've talked about that intersection. And one of the pieces that we talked about as well, it didn't reach the threshold of a stoplight, a traffic light, and nor is that a great intersection for a traffic light, but it's one of the pieces where that we can address the crossover, particularly in the downtown core and adjacent to the Avon Theater. So Director Crinklaw has assured us that this item will continue to move forward. And I would remind people that if you want more information, go to stratford.ca/crossovers for more information.
Okay, and we have a GTR update?
Yes, and once again, I can't say enough about the 2 years of work by both the Grand Trunk Advisory Committee and the working groups. They have given recommendations to staff and to council, and council has moved forward on those recommendations. And the key piece on that GTR site is housing, perhaps stacked parking, community shared spaces, with the key stakeholder being the YMCA, and also the possible reuse of part of that structure. You know, some of my favorite, and listeners, if you want to take an opportunity, Google a location in Tilburg in the Netherlands where they took a former rail yard location similar, not as big as the Grand Trunk site, and they converted it into a library. That's Tilburg in the Netherlands. Another one that's worth looking at is Cherry Street Pier, in Philadelphia, an amazing structure. Matter of fact, I was contacted by a company, a film company, that wanted to use the GTR site to talk about and film the redevelopment of that Cherry Street Pier, and they wanted to go back to when it was bare bones, and they came and looked at ours and said, whoa, that is big. So there's lots, I believe, a lot of potential there. After today's show, I'm getting in a vehicle and we're going to explore the waterfront in Toronto, places like Witchwood Barns, the Evergreen Brickworks, the Bathurst Quays, Waterworks in Toronto. As we talked about off air, if you ever want to see the waterfront and the redevelopment of industrial area, if you take a tall ship cruise, which isn't too expensive, you can see the amazing work that's been done to redevelop former industrial sites. And we're blessed with some great industrial sites. I think of the Krug factory, which is being transformed into housing. So lots of potential within our community on those former sites, including the Grand Trunk Railroad site.
Okay, we're in conversation with City of Stratford Mayor Martin Ritzma with Lots on the Agenda. Your city, your future. What's this about?
This is a passion that I've had since coming into office,